says greetings. How do you answer? You just say greetings, right? Okay, greetings, church.
Greetings of one.
Thank you so much. We thank the Lord for this privilege that we can all come under his word. For it is his word that he helps us to live as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow me to pray for our sermon. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing each one of us into your presence, and that we can all submit to the authority of Scripture, just as my sister Regine has prayed. Father, I reiterate that you open the ears of our hearts, that we may listen attentively to the gospel, and that it may be impressed upon our hearts, and Father, that it may transform our lives, it may produce the fruits that it is intended for. Come now, Holy Spirit, and bless our time together. Help us, Father, to be focused on you and to behold your goodness. Father, I come in humility. I am not the best preacher, but Father, I thank you for your anointing that I can stand before your children. Use me mightily to bring your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Yeah, we continue to thank the Lord. The title of our message for today is Praise God for His Blessings. It is important for us today to get to understand a little bit about the big picture of salvation history, particularly from the book of Genesis, for us to come to a point where we can really understand what God has done for us in terms of blessing each one of us. So remember that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created a perfect world with perfect relationships. But it did not stay like that, right? In Genesis chapter 3, sin entered the world. And what was the result? It was doom, death, separation from our life-giving God. But this was not the end. In his love and grace, God chose us for himself through one man, Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. God pursued us and he blessed us, fast forwarding, in Christ Jesus with every blessing that belongs to us as his children. He blessed us with himself through Jesus, who gave his life for ours. He also blessed us with himself through the pouring of his Spirit in our hearts. He also blessed us with eternal life. Just imagine, all of us, we have the life of God in us. And he also blessed us with righteousness. We are blameless before God. So, fellow believers, let us prayerfully praise God for his blessings upon our lives. I am going to ask you to praise God in one sentence for one or two blessings that he has given you. I just want maybe two or three people who just want to say, thank you, God, for this and this. Just in one or two sentences.
Thank you, God, for the gift of life and that life with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, God, for your mercy to us every day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for my family and friends. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace.
Thank you, Lord, that we found someone to stay with my dad. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for the church family like OCC. Amen.
Hallelujah. We have every reason to thank the Lord for many of the blessings that he has given to us. Now coming back to our passage, God chose Abraham to belong to him. And this has been the nature of salvation. It's all about God choosing us to belong to himself. And this is the heart of the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. So God chose Abraham to belong to him. My question for myself and for you, do you belong to God? Do we have the assurance that you belong to God? Not only did God graciously choose Abraham, he also graciously gave him great blessings. However, these great blessings were given only to Abraham and his seed, Isaac. Let us look at these few verses. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your seed, Isaac, I will give this blessing, the blessing of the land." Again, the Lord said to Abraham, "All the land that you see, I will give to you, Abraham, and to your seed forever." Literally speaking, the seed of Abraham is Isaac, and not you and me. So how do we share in the great blessings of God given to Abraham and Isaac? That is the big question in Genesis chapter 12 and also in our passage. How do we participate in these great blessings of God given to Abraham and to his seed Isaac? So the only way is for us to become the seed of Abraham. And we have the good news. We are the seed of Abraham through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Make sure you keep your Bibles open. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is what Paul says. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, Isaac. The scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person. And Paul says, who is that one person? Christ. So for Paul, he understood that Jesus is the seed of Abraham who fulfills these great promises for all people who believe in Jesus Christ. Let us also read chapter 3, verse 29. It says, If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This was not an afterthought. This was not plan B. Can I have the slide? Thank you. This was not an afterthought. This was not plan B. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Even before the creation of the world, God loved us and chose us. When was that? Before the creation of the world. Before the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, God had already planned to love us and to choose us. In his love, he decided in advance to adopt us as his sons and daughters into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is wonderful. We are not an afterthought of God's plan. We are not there literally in Genesis chapter 1. But we see from the rest of the scriptures that God had us in his mind. He predestined that we would be adopted as his sons and daughters into his own kingdom. And how did you do that? He did it through the cross, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through faith in Christ Jesus, you and I inherit the blessings of God given to Abraham. Those wonderful blessings that God gave to Abraham, they belong to you and they also belong to me only through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 26, Colossians 3, verse 26, it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That word, sons, it is a legal term for both men and women. It means that as children of God, we do now have full rights to inherit the blessings given to Abraham by God. The word sons does not exclude women, but it was the legal term in the Roman culture to mean, to refer to people that can inherit, that have the full rights. So Paul is using the same language and say, anyone who have believed in Jesus Christ, you have the full rights to inherit the blessings given to Abraham. Again, let us read chapter 3, verse 29. If you belong to Christ, and all of us, I believe, we belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Abraham lived, maybe it's now 10,000 years ago. Many years ago, more than. He lived many years ago. But Paul is telling us that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. He doesn't stop there. What does he say? Verse 29. We are Abraham's seed and heirs. We are the successors to the inheritance that was given by God. We are the inheritors. We are the beneficiaries because we are united with Christ. We are the true and rightful children of Abraham. The blessings of God given to Abraham belong to you. Can you believe it? Just look at yourself and say, the blessings that were given to Abraham, they also belong to me. This is the truth of the gospel. Because of the man Jesus Christ. This man, Jesus Christ, he connects us to Abraham. The man who is in the first book of the Bible, the man of faith. We are connected because of someone who went to the cross. This is great news for us believers. But let us take one step back so that we can appreciate the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our salvation story. Before we received the full rights to the blessings of God, we were in slavery to at least three powers. And what are these powers? Look with me in chapter 3, verse 22. Can you just check with someone sitting close to you? Chapter 3, verse 22. We were in slavery. What were we in slavery to? In chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 22. Can you check? Chapter 3, verse 22. Grace, we were in slavery too. Sorry, we were in slavery to sin. It says, but the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. This is the reality of anyone who is not in Christ. No matter how smart you are in bondage to sin. The world means anyone, anything, any institution that is not aligning itself with the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not mean killing people. It does not mean stealing. You may look like a good person, but if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, you are a prisoner of sin. The enemy will lie to you and say, you don't kill. You don't steal anyone. So you're a good person, but you don't believe in Jesus. You are a prisoner of sin. Okay? In chapter 4, verse 3, let us check together. Check again with your partner. Chapter 4, verse 3. We were in slavery to something. What is it? From Wumpu sisters, what do you see? Chapter 4, verse 3. We were in slavery, Wumbo? We can't hear you. Amen. We were in bondage under the principles or the elements of the world. This can refer to demonic forces. This can refer to idols, evil traditions, and ungodly regulations. So this is what Paul is saying. We're prisoners of sin, slavery to the basic principles of this world. Anything in this world that is ungodly and that is trying to govern this world, we are prisoners if we do not belong to Christ. And lastly, can you look with me in verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5? Patience, what do you see in chapter 4, verse 5? We were in slavery to What do you see? Patience? Yes. So we were in slavery to the law. Right? We were in slavery to the law. The law demands us to be right with God, as we saw 2 weeks back. Yet it does not have the power to make us right with God. Instead, the law condemns us. So we were in slavery to the law. We could not save ourselves. We lacked the ability to set ourselves free from bondage to sin, bondage to principles of this world, and bondage to the curse of the law. But God, at his own appointed time, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to set us free from these powers. That's what God did for you and I. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from being slaves to sin, slaves to the basic principles of this world, slaves to the law. Let's read together chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. I'll read chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Right? That's what Christ came to do. He came to redeem us. He came to set us free. But again, in that verse 5, there is a purpose. He came to redeem us for a purpose. Look with me the rest of verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. It says, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. This is what Christ did. He did not only redeem us from sin, but he also came so that we may receive the full rights of sonship. Family, we are adopted by God. We are accepted by God. And we are loved by God. Because we are now his true and rightful children, what do we receive in verse 7? We receive the blessings given to Abraham. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the blessings given to Abraham. Verse 7, Paul said, so you are no longer a slave, but a son, which means you have full rights. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is not because of our own goodness, but this is because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The full rights to God's blessings are given to all of us equally. All of us equally, because we belong to Christ. That's chapter 3, verse 28, where Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Back then, in the Jewish culture, Jews considered themselves superior to Gentiles. Men were superior to women. And masters were superior to their slaves. But what do we see with the coming of Jesus Christ? In Christ, there are no ranks and boundaries to God's blessings. We are all one family of God, regardless of our different ethnic backgrounds, different social status, different roles and responsibilities assigned to us as men and women. We are all one. We are equal. We all receive the blessings of God. So, verse 28, it was something like a taboo to a traditional Jewish person, because this is not what they understood. Remember, when a Jewish person was praying in the synagogue, you would say two things. God, I thank you that one, I am a Jew and not a Gentile. And secondly, I thank you that I am a man and not a woman. That was their couch. But when Jesus Christ came, he is countering their couch and saying, there is no Jew, no Greek, female or men or males, right? Slaves or free. So God's blessings are not only for Jews, not only for masters, not only for men, but for everyone who believes in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Family, we need to appreciate the work of the cross. It's not only about, he set me free, he died in my place. Yes, that's very true. But there is more to it. The blessings of God begins with the promised Holy Spirit. Look with me in chapter 4, verse 6. The blessings of God begins with the promised Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So we have received the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and by him we call out to God, Abba, Father, loving and dearest Father. That's what it means. The Holy Spirit confirms that we are truly the children of God. And this is a wonderful, wonderful privilege that unbelievers do not enjoy. Unbelievers cannot call Abba Father to God. They can say he's our creator, fine, but they don't have the intimate relationship with God. They cannot, unless they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look closely at verse 6, you will see that the Holy Spirit is the first fruits of God's blessings that we received. And yet through him, we received the blessing of being declared righteous before God. The Holy Spirit, who is God himself, he is also our blessing. And as a blessing, he also brings or makes it possible for us to enjoy other blessings of God. And the first blessing that we cannot down is that we are declared righteous before God. We talked about this a couple of weeks back. To say, for anyone who have believed that Jesus is his Savior, when God looks at you, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. He does not see your sins, but he sees someone who is perfect. We are declared righteous because of Jesus Christ that we have believed in. But we also receive the blessing of possessing the life of God in us. When we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life is not something that we enjoy the moment we die and then we continue in the afterlife. No, it's part of it, true. But it means we have the life of God in us. Just imagine looking at me or looking at someone close to you. That person who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has received life. And that life is the life of God. This is great. To receive the Holy Spirit is to receive God himself. These are the promises that God made to Abraham. To say, Abraham, I want to be your portion. I want to give myself to you. To live in you. I want to be the blessing. I will pour my spirit in your children. We also receive the blessing of growing in holiness. Because we have the Holy Spirit, he helps us to grow in holiness. We cannot continue to engage in sin without making progress when the Spirit of God is in us. When we sin, he convicts us and we go before God, we ask him for forgiveness. Then what do? We stand up and continue to follow Jesus Christ. And he helps us to become more and more and more holy. And we have received many other blessings that belong to us as God's children. This part is the heart of my sermon. So in summary, we have received the Abrahamic inheritance. The blessings that God promised to Abraham in Genesis, in the beginning, we have received them through one man, Jesus Christ. There is no other way that we can receive the Abrahamic inheritance. We can pray 24 hours for the entire year, but until we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's the only way we can receive the Abrahamic inheritance. Inheritance. So we said we received the Holy Spirit. At this moment, I want you to forget about the Ford Ranger. I want you to forget about the beautiful house. This is the crown of God's blessings. Sometimes when we think of Abraham's blessings, we are thinking of land. I want to have land. I want to have a house. I want to have a car. Yes, these are also blessings. But the crown of those blessings are the ones that we are mentioning right now. God says, I will give myself to you through the Holy Spirit. Righteousness. Guys, is there any other gift that you can say is bigger than you standing before your maker and he says 100% perfect? Can you equate it to a Land Cruiser? No. Can you equate it to 1 million Namibian dollars? Standing before God, not because of your good works, no, but because of the man on the cross. These are great blessings that we should hold on to. Let's pray, yes, for other things, true. But these are the climax of the blessings of God. Holy Spirit, justification, everlasting life. Sometimes the enemy, I believe, he blinds me to think of other things, to say, maybe if you've got 10,000, you are sorted. And I forget that I have everlasting life. The life of God living in a mortal human being like you. Just imagine a holy God without beginning, without end. And he says, I have decided to live in you through the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to do anything. You just need to believe that I came down from heaven. I gave myself. That if you believe in the work that I have done on your behalf, I can step down from heaven and come and dwell in you. This is a great blessing. If God would come down in the Old Testament and live in a temple, in a house that is made up of bricks, but that's not what he wants to live. He wants to live in human beings. Just imagine. This is greater than anything that we can desire materially. And Melissa, you can have these things and not have $2 in your pocket. It's okay. These are the blessings of life. Not only for tomorrow, but forever. Holiness. I don't know how many times I sin against God. But still, when I come back to Him and say, God, forgive me, He's saying, yes, come back, my son. If God was like my biological father, I don't think He would give me those many opportunities. But because Jesus paid it all, He paid it all. There is no sin that can surprise God that we are going to do. People can be surprised, Sister Grace did what? But not God. Because all has been paid in Jesus Christ. And when we come back to God, again, He does not see our holiness. He sees the holiness of His own Son, Jesus Christ. There are many blessings, etc. But as I was preparing this sermon, I said, God, yes, I need a car for ministry. But even if I don't have it, and I keep on with the master, it's okay. Than to lose this. These are the blessings of Abraham given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please make no mistake, we have not yet received the entire blessings of God. As I mentioned, we still get sick. We still suffer from many challenges. We commit sin. But as a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the down payment. He is the deposit that we have received. What does a deposit do? It says more is what? Coming. It's a down payment. So having received the Holy Spirit, all other blessings of God that we are not yet enjoying, that we will enjoy one day in the new heavens, the Holy Spirit is the down payment. That's why sometimes, Wumbu, you experience life and you even say, today, guys, it's like I'm in heaven. Everything is proper. Why? Because of the down payment. The Holy Spirit sometimes helps us to experience a glimpse of what we are going to experience forever in heaven. Because of the Holy Spirit. As I conclude, I just want all of us to stand up. And I want us to praise God by reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We shall read together. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe let us repeat again. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. Thank you, church. You may sit down.
As we all rise, I'd like to invite our worship team to sing a song.